Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I was just listening. I'm just listening in.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Okay. God bless you.
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. So anyway, we're gonna move on, and we wanted to. We've been in a book of Corinthians, and we're gonna move on forward. And so anyway, what I was saying before I noticed that call, that number on the switchboard, I was saying there's about us, the body, soul, and spirit being preserved blameless. So I noticed the president of the United States, in the person of Barack Obama, been dealing with this thing. These people are trying to delegitimize him because of his birth certificate. So he came on, and the White House released the birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, then so people don't want to be honest and all. They always got trying to snare somebody. You know, you're snared by your words. You're taken by your words. They're trying to damn people. They're trying to condemn people. So then I see the news a little later on, who's on there with a bunch of microphones in his face? Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Like he done something. I mean, come on. So even I said this, we know all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They are not of the Father, but of the world. The world's going to pass away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So I said these words. I met pride, I met arrogance, and I met stubbornness. Those are all characteristics. Those are works of arrogance, all of those kinds of things that are in the heart of man. That's not of God, you know. So thank God for his word. There's nothing like his word. So this time we're going to move on, and thank God that we have our historian here with us on today. I need a little help with my voice. And so it's a blessing that he is here in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain. So we're going to move on farther. He can do his food for thought, or he can just take over from here, however he sees fit.
Amen. I have a food for thought, but first there was another story that I just read on my phone before I came in, and that is that the Palestinian government on the West Bank and also in the Gaza Strip have come to an agreement and formed a unified force, and they're trying to do that. And I think that's very important to prophecy.
Yes.
Because that shows that the Arab nations are gathering themselves against Israel, and that will be one of the major fights that goes along in the tribulation period, is that the Arab nations are going to fight against Israel and also the Antichrist, because the Antichrist will side with Israel for the first 3.5 years, and then after 3.5 years, he will turn on them, and they will have to flee out of Jerusalem, and then he will sit in the place, he will be the abomination of desolations. He will sit in the most holy place and set himself up in the temple to be worshipped, and that's where he will set up his image and also set up getting the mark and the name subsequently tattooed into either your right hand or in your forehead, which is the eye, which will be a computer chip that they will implant into you. So I think that is a very, and there's all these uprisings that's going on in Northern Africa and Egypt and Syria are all very important to biblical prophecy and end times. So I noticed that when I was coming in, and I thought it was very interesting. I'm not somebody that is worried about those types of things, because I know that is just a fulfillment of God's word, and that God is just going to continue to fulfill his word up until the time that he raptures the church away, and then prophecy will continue on as it should. So I know that I'm in my place in prophecy, so I'm not worried about these things, because I know I won't be here for these types of things.
Right.
So with that being said, let me move on to my food for thought. Again, I was looking at my phone. The technology is quite amazing nowadays. I saw this verse on one of my daily Bible verses that pop up on my phone, and it says that he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. This is Proverbs 28, verse number 22. So this can be taken in a secular manner, that somebody that rushes to do things and tries to get rich quick, they will end up being impoverished, and that they are not looking at the long term. They're just looking at the short term, looking to get a, as we say in the streets, a lick, trying to get some quick money, and that you will do evil things and you will in essence sell your soul to get money. Well, we can also look at this in the church realm and see that these false prophets are looking to get you, they're looking to get you involved in their get-rich-quick schemes and promising you blessings for you giving them money on a weekly or a daily basis. And they are trying to see that you can get rich quickly. You can hastily get rich. And they are actually giving you an evil eye. Amen. They are actually implanting into you an evil eye or a seed of evil into your heart, that you may go after these riches and that poverty shall come upon you. That you're not seeing that. You're just seeing that you're giving this money and that this blessing is promised unto you, but what happens when the blessing does not come? Because this is a false prophet we're talking about. We're not talking about a true prophet. We're talking about a false prophet that is tricking you and trying to make merchandise out of you. And these people are just trying to get your money out of you, and you are looking to get rich, but in essence you're giving them their money, so you're going to be impoverished, but you're also selling out your soul and being deceived, and you'll start believing in false doctrine. That is one of the seeds to false doctrine, is to trying to get money out of you. That's how they do it, is they preach false doctrine unto you, and you get deceived.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not here in the church to get rich quick. That's not our purpose.
No.
That I don't believe that's God's purpose, is for you to get rich quick. I do believe that God will bless you. God says that he will bless you. But look to the things of the kingdom of God first. And those things are just added. Those are just added bonuses onto you. Those aren't even things that we're looking for.
Right.
We're not looking for extra money. But those are just things that God will bless you with. You will run across those types of blessings as you go on in your daily walk with him. But you are just focused on walking with him. And that's what we should be concerned about in the church world, and I think that's what a lot of people are missing. They're coming to church trying to double their profit, and in essence, we're turning the church into a pyramid scheme. But that is not the purpose of the church, but that is what we are turning it into. So that is my food for thought. As Elder Cannon was saying, we are in the book of the second epistle to the Corinthians, and I believe we got through the first chapter last week. We talked about trusting in God, and we talked a little bit about the resurrection last week, and we went back into the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians also. So then, going into the second chapter, we'll just start off from the first verse. It says, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me?" Now, we talked about this last week, that this is, since he wrote a letter of rebuke to them in their first epistle, he's writing this second epistle to saying that although you made me sorry, you're the one that can also make me happy again by following in line with my teachings, following in line with the teachings of Christ. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. So that is where he gathers his joy from, is that the people of God are walking in joy and walking in peace.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to correct the saints. Sometimes saints have to be corrected. I believe it's the book of Hebrews that says that he chasteneth whom he loveth.
Mm-hmm.
So to show his love, he had to chasten them or rebuke them in order for them to get in line and get straight so that they may walk in the path that they were taught in. So that is where he gets his rejoicing from, is that they are walking in joy, that they are walking in the doctrine of Christ. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye should might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he have not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such is a man this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. Now who is this him he's talking about? He's talking about the brother that he excommunicated in the first epistle, where the man that was sleeping with his father's wife.
Mm-hmm.
They had to excommunicate him out of the church because you couldn't have leaven with the unleavened bread. You couldn't have sin with holiness. Let's go back into that story. I believe it's the fifth chapter. And he says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up. And have ye not rather mourned that he that have done this deed might be taken away from among you? For I verily, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that have done so this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And then he goes on to say, to purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump and be unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So now he's telling them not to have fellowship with this man, not to have fellowship with this fornicator, so that his flesh may be destroyed, that he may be humbled in his spirit, and that he may be indeed saved once again. So now he's saying that this man, if he has been, if he has truly indeed been repentant in his heart, if he has turned from his ways and has come back sorrowful, receive him back into your congregation. Receive him back into the body, because that is what the purpose of the whole excommunication was in the first place, that the man may repent, so that there is restoration.
Right.
There's always restoration as long as there is a repentant heart. That provision is made to the church. That is the purpose of grace, that we may come back into grace if we ever leave out of grace. So it is possible to leave out of the place of grace, but it's also a possibility that you may be restored into grace. The story that's coming to mind of a person that left grace, I believe we talked about this before, an Old Testament, when David was about to die, he told Solomon that Shimei, the last descendant of the house of Saul, if he ever left out of Jerusalem and crossed the Kidron, that he should be killed. So as long as Shimei stayed in Jerusalem, he was to be safe. That was his place of grace. That was where grace abided for Shimei.
Mm-hmm.
But once he crossed over the Kidron meant death unto Shimei. So once he crossed that Kidron, he stepped out of grace, and Solomon had his way to kill him, because David truly wanted to kill him, but Shimei begged for his life, and that is the provision that David made for him. So now, moving that into the church's perspective, we are in our place of grace within the body of Christ, but you can leave the body of Christ. Jesus said that no man can pluck a man out of my Father's hand, but you certainly can leave out of the Father's hand and jump out and leave grace if you go once again into sin. But with that, we have a provision that we may come back and be restored to the body of Christ. We may be restored back into our position. We may be restored back into grace if we come back with repentance.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think of himself to be something, he is nothing, but deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." So if you are overtaken in a fault, and that word fault has its roots with sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you are overtaken in a sin, if a sin has taken hold of you once again, and you have that burden upon you, if you come in the spirit of meekness and they restore you in the spirit of meekness, you can be restored into your proper place, because God doesn't really want to see anybody damned into hell.
Right.
He didn't even form hell originally for mankind. But the book of Isaiah says that hell enlarges herself. So he had to enlarge hell for mankind because they were so wicked in their doings. Amen?
Yes, amen.
So, restoration is possible in a life, and as well as that goes along with backsliding, as we call it. Backsliding is a term that is used many times in the Old Testament, referring to Israel and or Judah, that they are backsliders. They have gone up to grace, and then they have slid back from where they were. That's the whole meaning of the word backslider, that they were in a place and slid backwards and went back in their hearts, essentially, to Egypt, to the world, to sin.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can be restored and go back and climb once again that mountaintop and be refreshed in grace. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." Verse number 10. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So we are life unto some and death unto others."
Mm-hmm.
The words that we speak, it's the same words. It's not a double-minded message, but it's the same message that will bring some to salvation and others who ignore it and will not take heed to it and will not listen to it will be eternally damned. Amen?
Right, because that's what he was saying in St. John 12:48. "He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So
Amen.
It's going to be the God's word is the judge.
Amen. And another scripture to go along with that is St. Mark, the 16th chapter, 15th verse. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means every man, woman, and child. Preach the gospel unto them. He that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not the gospel shall be damned. So we're preaching the same gospel unto every man, every creature, every woman, every child, and to those that believe the gospel, they shall be saved. But to those that don't believe the gospel, they shall be damned. Another scripture that can go along with this, Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, I believe it's around the second or third, or maybe the first chapter. He speaks of a scroll or a roll that flew to him.
And also we made mention last week about some people don't believe in the resurrection, you know. And there is going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. So got to bear that, keep that in mind. What you want to do is be part of the first resurrection.
Yes.
Second resurrection, they have no power.
And that scripture is Zechariah, the fifth chapter. And it says, then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, behold, a flying roll. Now this roll represents the word of God. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll, the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. And he said unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the earth, for everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off on that side according to it. And I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me, that's going on to another thing. But this flying roll is going to cut off, it describes two people that it's going to cut off. One, the thief, that's just the plain out sinner. And two, the one that sweareth falsely by my name. That is those that are in false worship to the God of glory. They think they are worshiping in truth, but they are worshiping his name falsely. They are not properly in the body of Christ.
Right.
They are those that he speaks of in St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, where they say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and have we done not many great works in thy name? He said, but I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So these are those that think they are in the truth, but they are not truly in the truth. They have been deceived and are worshiping after him falsely. There is a true and proper way to worship after God through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have to go by him in the way in order to learn the truth. And once you get the truth embedded in your heart, you will receive eternal life through him. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to understand that there is a proper way to worship after God. There is a proper way to worship after Christ. It's not after the flesh. We worship him after spirit and in truth. And so where is truth? Truth is within the scriptures.
Yeah.
But not just reading scriptures, scripture by scripture, but you have to rightly divide the scriptures and take line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little.
Yeah.
You have to go from Old Testament to New Testament. That's why we jump around the Bible so much on our show, is because we have to rightly divide the word of truth and put scripture upon scripture and show that every scripture bears one another.
Yeah.
They bear each other's burdens.
Right.
Amen. So we have to rightly divide the word and show that there's truth throughout the Bible. It just has to be found and has to be rightly divided.
Yeah.
You can't take something out of its context and try to make it mean something that it really does not mean. That is where so many people get in trouble with Romans 10 and 9 and verse number 10. We dealt with that earlier, but confession is not made by the mouth unto salvation. That is for people that are already saved.
Yeah.
That is when confession is made. You have to first be in Christ in order to confess Christ.
Yeah.
How can you know him who you have not possessed him? You have not had him in you.
Right.
That is how you truly know that Jesus is the Christ, because you can't truly say Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And if the Holy Ghost is not abiding in you, you can't truly say that Jesus is the Lord. You have to have the Holy Ghost. You have to be Holy Ghost influenced in order to make that proclamation.
Yes.
So not only do we exclaim and proclaim and profess the doctrine and profess our salvation, but we possess our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized in his name, washing our sins clean, and we also have received his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who dwells in our heart, and we have that with the evidence by speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Every person that receives the Holy Ghost, receives the gift of the Holy Ghost, receives that speaking, receives it by showing it by speaking in tongues. Amen?
Amen.
Not everybody has the gift of tongues, and we spoke on that in 1 Corinthians. There's a difference between the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues.
Yeah.
Everybody speaks another language as the Spirit gives utterance when they receive the Holy Ghost, but not everybody speaks in tongues where you can speak in another language at will without having learned it.
Right.
I don't know how I got off into all of that, but we have to know the difference, and you can only find that with right division.
Yes.
And putting the scriptures in their proper context. Amen?
Yes.
So I really wanted to talk about that we should not let Satan get an advantage of us, because we are not ignorant of his devices. We know the false doctrines. The wise man Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So everything that the devil has been trying, he just tries it. He tries the same things. He's been trying the same things to deceive people. He may put a different name on it. He may put a different ring on it, but it's the same false doctrine. It's the same deception that he has been spreading throughout the earth since his time when he fell from his anointed place.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not ignorant of his devices. We know that he will come with false doctrine. We know that he will come with deception and try to make you believe that there, one, there is no God. Maybe there isn't a God. Maybe it's, you worship him in another manner. Maybe you worship him under a different name. Maybe you worship him after this or after that. Maybe you worship him with an idol. Maybe you worship him with a cross around your neck. There's many different deceptions that he has tried, but we are not ignorant of his devices. We know that we don't worship God after idols. We know that we don't worship God after another name. He has revealed his name unto us, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus is the Christ.
Yes.
That is the name. The Bible says that is a more excellent name than the angels, a more excellent name than any other name. It's a name above every other name. And that every name should bow down their knee to that name, and they will confess that name at the great white throne of judgment. Amen?
Yeah.
So we know that there is a name that is above every name, and that we should be baptized in that name, and that we should bear that name on our souls, and that he seals us with that name. So we know that there is truth, and that we can't divert ourselves from truth. We can't veer off from truth. We can't be carried, as Paul says, with every wind of doctrine.
Right, right.
Because that shows the weakness within one's spirit. But we have to be anchored by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls him our anchor. Amen.
Yes. Yeah, I was gonna say, reason why we are focusing on that scripture, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, is because of the prosperity gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And people are supposing to gain his godliness. So here in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, he's saying, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself.
Mm-hmm.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. What he's saying is not contingent upon what you have or what you don't have. So he goes on to say, we brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, let's go right along with your scripture, fall into temptation and a snare and the many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition. For the love of money
mm-hmm.
is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Yes.
So that the prosperity gospel, they're always telling you, plant a seed, plant a seed. If you love him, you'll go to that phone. That is a lie. That's not proving your love to God, going to that phone, giving $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lie out of hell.
Amen.
You're going to be a $1,000 broker.
Amen.
What you're going
to
be.
And just to go along with that, 2 Peter, the second chapter, it says, but there were false prophets
yeah.
also among the people,
mm-hmm.
even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And many shall follow their pernicious ways. It says many,
mm-hmm.
many shall follow their ways
by
reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
Mm-hmm.
And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are coveting after riches, they are coveting after things, they are going to make merchandise out of you. They are going to use you in order to uphold their boisterous lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
and want to have gold toilet seats, private charter flights,
mm-hmm.
Ridiculous amount of cars, ridiculous size houses, all of these things they're doing. They're making merchandise of you. They're calling out right now. What they're doing are they're going into the churches and preaching, and they're saying, "Wait a second, I have a word from the Lord. He wants you to give $302 right now."
mm-hmm.
And then when they get that, they'll say, well, wait a second, the Lord just spoke to me. He said, no, give me $402. So that is what the deception that they are using. They're using the word of God and using the spirit of God to in order to provoke money out of people.
Right.
Amen?
They're hustling people.
And really what that is the spirit of soothsaying.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the move of that spirit, that first it started out with soothsaying. We read that about in the book of Acts. There was a little girl that made a lot of money for her keepers. And once Paul cast the devil out of her, they saw that they could not have any more gain out of her.
Mm-hmm.
So they were mad and they arrested Paul. That's the same spirit.
Right. Lydia,
that spirit, spirit moved from the spirit of soothsaying. I'm talking about the names that they put on this spirit.
Mm-hmm.
From soothsaying,
yes.
They went to psychics. That and Miss Cleo and all them,
mm-hmm.
they were all psychics. But then when Miss Cleo got federal charges brought up on her, you saw that most of the psychic hotlines fell off of the map.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be psychic commercials all over the place.
Yes.
You don't see them much anymore because psychics, they've taken that name off of psychics, and now what have they changed it to? Prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And they have hid themselves under the banner of the church,
mm-hmm.
and that spirit is running rampant within the church with people that are calling themselves prophets
yes.
and prophetesses and wanting to get money out of the people. That is what soothsayers do.
Yes.
That is what psychics do. And now that is what false prophets are doing. Amen?
Yes. And that's our purpose, what we're trying to do going through here. We don't want any listener to be ignorant of Satan's devices.
Amen.
So what I always say, like a hustler, when you're out in the street and people hustle you, and you become, as we used to say, hip or aware of their game, then they can't hustle you no more because you know their game. They're mad at you. They want you out.
Amen.
They want you out of the way.
And like I said, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
So they may put a different name on it, but it's the same spirit.
Yes.
It's the same devil, and he's doing the same works.
Yes.
And the fruit bears the works. Amen.
Yes.
The fruit comes from the works.
Yes.
So we know the fruit that they're bearing, it runs true with the fruit that the psychics were bearing. It runs true with the fruit that the soothsayers bear. So it's the same fruits. It's the same false spirits that are out there.
Yeah.
With that, we have moved on. We talked about the two sides of the gospel. We are the sweet savor of them that are saved, and in them that perish. Amen. So we are. He's talking about the ministry. He's talking about the preachers, that they are the sweet savor because they bring the words of life unto the people and bring them peace and bring them joy. But unto those that do wrongly, it brings judgment and it brings damnation upon them.
Right, right.
So then he moves on and talks about, and as he goes along here, he's talking about the ministry.
Yes.
Talking about ministers. In these next few chapters, that is what he is speaking of in these chapters when he says we. Okay. So, do we begin again to commend ourselves? We're starting out the third chapter, first verse, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? This we is again is talking about the ministry,
yeah.
The ministers,
mm-hmm.
Paul and his camp, amen.
Yeah.
This would be Paul, Timothy, Silas, Titus,
Barnabas.
Barnabas starting out, but then him and Paul split off.
Mm-hmm.
Priscilla, Aquila. There's many others that were with Paul that followed after Paul, but this is the group that he is talking about. So. They don't need to commend themselves. They don't need commendation from you in order to go forth in the ministry.
Right.
Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So the people that the souls that they have touched with the gospel are the epistles, the written epistles in their hearts. Amen. They are shown unto all men.
Mm.
These written epistles, these books, these pages, were written unto specific churches, but the lives that these people showed unto all men were epistles unto the world.
Yeah.
So this is how we are judges unto the world. They are judged according to how they deal with us, or how they come across and how they treat us, or how they, how they are interacting with us,
yeah.
Amen. So, if you are a person that is unsaved and you come across, let's say I am unsaved and I come to Elder Cannon who is saved, the way that I deal with him and the way that I interact with him, even if he doesn't preach one word about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ unto me knowing that there is something different about this brother, and that there is something on him that I can't quite put my finger on,
yeah.
But I know that I should deal with him more justly, and that if I'm a lie and a cheat and a person that is corrupt, I know that I really can't do with him what I do to others, because that there's some sort of discernment going on with there's something different about him. I treat him fairly, that will again come back and show good works unto me, amen, that will come back positively on me. But again, if I treat him poorly, even if I see that there's something different about him and there's something that I just can't stand about him, even though I don't know him one bit, and I treat him poorly, again, I will be judged accordingly. Amen. Yes. So the how the unsaved treat the saved, even if the gospel is not preached unto them one time, that is how they are judged according to their works. The book of the Revelation in the 20th chapter says every man that was in the grave came up and they were judged out of the books according to their works.
Yes.
So according to the knowledge that you have of God and according to the knowledge that you have of the people of God, you will be judged according to your works on how you treated the people of God and how you worshiped after God. Amen?
Amen.
So that is how we are the epistles written in the hearts and known and read of all men, by the lives that we live, not by the things that we write or the things that we preach, but the lives that we live. You have to live what you preach. Amen? You can't just preach one thing. You can't preach in the pulpit on Sunday about goodness and mercy and then go out and live a hellish lifestyle.
Right.
Amen?
Can't do it.
You can't do it. But if you live the life that you are preaching and you live the life that you believe in, and walking as a child of God, you are a written epistle. Amen. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, and such trust we have we through Christ toward Godward, not as we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who have also made us able ministers, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, what is the letter he is speaking of? He's speaking of the law.
Mm-hmm.
The law killeth. The law judges, the law damns all people, amen? Because no man can live according to all points of the law and be blameless. But through the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of Christ, he is able to come into your heart and we are able to fulfill that law because we have love in our hearts now. Man didn't have love in his heart as he was supposed to. Many times in the Old Testament, it says that man did evil in his heart continually,
mm-hmm.
especially in the days of Noah and also in the days of Lot. It said that they did evil continually in their hearts. So in our hearts was evil. This is what we were born. This is the product of sin being in our lives and having the burden of sin upon us. We did evil. We had evil come into our hearts automatically.
Yes.
That is just a judgment that we were born into. Amen? So, no one had to teach you how to do evil. You just figured out how to do it along the way.
Right.
Now, somebody could teach you how to do evil more effectively, but you had it in your heart already to do evil. But the Holy Ghost had to come into your heart in order to do good, in order to have you live a perfect lifestyle. Amen?
Yeah.
There's nothing that we can do on our own, but it's the work that he does through us. Amen? The Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Amen? So those people saw Moses and the glory that was upon his face. Now what the glory that was upon his face that they saw was after Moses went into the mountain and wanted to see the glory of God, but God said that you cannot see this, Moses, because it's too great for you. And you will be consumed. So then he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock and let him see his hind parts. Amen. I don't have that scripture ready available. It's in, I know it's in the book of Exodus. I believe it's around the 33rd chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and read this story and get the gauge of this story to further understand what's going on in the 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter.
Yeah.
Exodus, the 33rd chapter.
And the 18th verse, he's asking him to show him his glory.
Well, let's go a little further up. Let's start in the 11th verse. Well, let's start in the
9th verse.
Let's start in the 9th verse. Yeah. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, mm-hmm. as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and I have found also grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and then consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and the people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. So now he is saying that I'm going to give grace unto you and the
mm-hmm.
people, and my presence will be with y'all, with you always.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. This is Moses seeking after the Lord's
mm-hmm.
glory. And the Lord said, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So he couldn't see the Lord face to face
mm-hmm.
because the glory that was upon the Lord would consume him.
Mm-hmm.
It would kill him. But as we go on, he says, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That word rock is very important here.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by me, that I will put thee into the clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, there's
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of types and shadows in those few verses right there. And you have to understand about the rock. He's standing upon, who is the rock? Jesus is the
mm-hmm.
rock, amen? So he's standing upon Jesus. He put him behind Jesus and covered him up by the hand. The hand is always significant of salvation, so he covered him with the salvation of the Lord, and then when he took away and opened up the salvation unto him, he saw the back parts of God. He could not see the face, but he saw the back parts. That means he saw that which was after, what was to come afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Lord Jesus Christ being manifest in the earth, the Word being made flesh. That is what he saw. he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He got that revelation, amen?
Mm-hmm.
He said in the earlier verse that I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, amen? So he saw the name of the Lord. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He got a vision of that manner, amen?
Yeah.
That is what Moses saw. And then it says when he came down, after he made the tablets, that in the 34th chapter, he because he broke the first tablets,
mm-hmm.
because the children of Israel went whoring after other gods, and Moses was angry and broke those tablets, he had to go back and he had to scribe out the new tablet.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, for 40 days and 40 nights he did neither eat bread nor drink water. This is the 34th chapter, 28th verse. And he wrote upon the tables of the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hands, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that his skin of his face shone while
mm-hmm.
he talked with him. Amen. So Moses didn't know that his skin was glowing, but
mm-hmm.
his skin was glowing.
Right.
And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, that they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with him. And afterwards, as we skip down, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face.
Right.
But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out, and then he put the veil upon his face because of the revelation, so much revelation that God poured out upon this man. He had the kind of the glory shining off of him. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what they're talking about here.
That leads us into 2 Corinthians, the third chapter.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I read this, that portion of scripture, there was a glory upon him that they could not bear because they did not know how to handle that thing. But this is just him seeing the back parts. This is just seeing in the future what was to come. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That is all he saw. But now we have seen he which that was to come, and it was written about him that came already. It is he that is to come, will come, and is here already in this earth. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
This is the Lord Jesus Christ that died, was buried, and then resurrected himself on the third day. We know that the ministration of the Spirit shall be more glorious than the ministration than that of the law. Moses only ministered unto them through the law and spoke unto them through the law. But that which was to come after the law was to be more glorious than the law. Amen?
Amen.
So we know that we have a law of grace and truth that is upon us, and that we have something that is more glorious than the law of Moses. Amen?
Amen.
That is not to say that the law of Moses is of none effect, that the law of Moses is no good, but we have the revelation is represented. Amen?
Amen.
And on that note, I will have to close. We will pick this up again on next week. Amen.
Amen. Nothing but good words. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, received up in glory. We thank God that for every one of you that have been with us on this evening, and we hope that you will tune in on next week as we get back into the Word of the Lord one more time. God bless.